years, it seems we're no longer welcome in Cave Street. The glory days are over, and all we have is this perpetual calm down. My friends may be drug addicts, but at least they know where to draw the line. No crack, no heroin. With enough forward planning, you might still make it into work on Monday. And now everyone's arguing in the doorway. Should we go to the Black Swan or some squat party that a friend of a friend is DJing at? And the longer I stand still, the worse the anxiety gets. And I realize that I need to keep moving to survive. I steal a glass from the party, hoping that the water it contains will help me stave off a panic attack until I get home at least. But by the time I hit Stapleton Road, the glass is empty and feels like a weapon in my hand. I enter a kebab shop and beg for a refill, but the owner interprets me wordlessly brandishing the glass as a threat and backs away towards the phone. I leave him to his own paranoia and continue my journey down Stapleton Road, stretching on forever like an eternal after party that no one can ever quite summon the energy to leave. And so we allow ourselves to fall asleep on a stranger's sofa, hoping that when we wake the sun will have made a token gesture towards summer. But the sun never rises round here. It merely peeks over the horizon before retreating frightened, like a student who only wanted to score some weed. But now you find yourself having skipped a link in the food chain, lost in a strange part of town, offered drugs you've never heard of and a slang you don't understand, and some kind of social etiquette that seems obvious to everyone but you. So you continue down Stapleton Road, referred to by the tabloids as a variety of affectionate nicknames: Junkie Street, Crackhead Alley, the most dangerous street in Britain. Past the Black Swan, onto Fish Ponds Road, past the gardens where a gang of shirtless stoners once blocked your path and raised their fists before retreating laughing, leaving you to process the humiliation of another public panic attack. Past the newsagent where an Ethiopian man once slumped, bleeding and clutching his stomach. Past the car stereos pumping out particular varieties of techno music that only sound good if you're on the right drugs, which you never are. Staring straight ahead, a burnout joint between your fingers, making no eye contact with anyone, not even when a car pulls up beside you and its occupants begin shouting obscenities in your direction. And it feels like a miracle when your ignorance turns out to be accurate, as threats are returned from over your other shoulder, and even as bottles smash on the ground 2 paces behind you, you remind yourself that although you're caught in the crossfire, you're not the target. You're a good person, you're educated, you have ambition, you just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But even as you feed yourself these lies, your attention is drawn to the glass on your hand, the violent snarl on your face, the eighth of green in your pocket, the paranoid twitch in your muscles, and you realize you're not above this, you're part of the problem, without even the redeeming quality of knowing it. You're mentally a criminal, high on drugs, at 4 a.m., in the most dangerous street in Britain.